Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, almost €30 million is allocated to Donegal County Council for the local and regional roads network in the county. But the Lascan Corla and Donegal Deputy Patrick Cope Gallagher says the allocation is actually less than last year's, and he's disappointed. We'll have a full report. There's been a real and significant challenge to rural Ireland, and that will be exacerbated in the event of a no-deal Brexit. That's according to the Agriculture and Marine Minister. EU officials agree that UK nationals will be able to holiday in Europe after Brexit without a visa, and there was a net gain of 85 jobs supported by Ilras in Donegal last year. And as well as all this evening's news, we'll have the sports news at around 5:15. That's with Oisin Kelly. But we begin with that local and county road allocation. Almost €30 million has been allocated to Donegal County Council for the local and regional roads network in the county. €29.5 million. A number of bridges have also been included in the programme. With some more detail, here's Catherine Gaffney.
Minister Joe McHugh said this afternoon the projects being funded include further works on Cockhill Bridge, and more funding also included for Fintra Bridge and the Tyrconnell Bridge in Donegal Town. Nine other bridges are also being approved. Funding is also included for the Lahey Pettigo Road and the Swilly Road and the Letterkenny Southern Ring Road. Minister McHugh says this, combined with the €34 million already announced for the county's national road infrastructure, he says this will lead to shorter journey times, safer roads and quality roads that locals and visitors alike will want to use. Work is also continuing on a number of key projects, including the N56 around Mount Charles and the Guibara Bends, and work on the Blue Banks near Letterkenny.
However, the Lascan Corla, Pat the Cope Gallagher, says the allocation is down on last year. He says he's disappointed. He wants to meet with Minister Shane Ross in Dublin to discuss increasing it.
Coming at a time when we would have expected an increase on last year's allocation of €33 million down to €29.5 million this year. And Donegal, with such a huge network of county and regional roads, local roads, I can't wait, in fact, to get back to Dublin to meet with Minister Shane Ross, who has allocated these funds. It's just not good enough at a time when there is surplus money available.
Is this an issue of the capacity of Donegal County Council to do the work? Do you believe if there was more money forthcoming, the resources are there to ensure the work is done and completed?
I have no doubt, but Donegal County Council would have looked for more than this, and they're in a position to carry out works that had the allocation been even similar or greater to last year.
And that was Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher. Well, included in the programme are allocations for a number of smaller local projects with an emphasis on safety. They include the restoration of the Ivy Bridge and traffic calming at Redcastle. Well, a full list of all the projects included is available on our website, highlandradio.com. There will be a real and significant challenge to rural Ireland in the event of a no-deal Brexit. That's the warning from the Agriculture and Marine Minister, who says Brexit will impact the rural economy hardest. A Department of Finance report earlier this week warned the economy will slow overall and there could be job losses in the agri-food and marine sectors. Minister Michael Creed acknowledged today they are both vulnerable.
The agri-food sector is the most exposed, and the fisheries sector, to the downside of Brexit. So whereas overall the economy wouldn't contract, certainly in the rural economy there will be real significant challenges in terms of both viability inside the farm gate and the downstream processing jobs in that sector.
Well, EU officials have agreed that UK nationals will be able to holiday in Europe after Brexit without a visa. But Downing Street has objected to Gibraltar being described as a colony in the European Union legislation. The Spanish government insisted a footnote be added to the document, which hasn't gone down well in Britain. Sky's diplomatic editor is Dominic Waghorn.
Gibraltar is not a colony. They say it is completely inappropriate to describe it this way. Gibraltar is a full part of the UK family and has a mature and modern constitutional relationship with the UK. This will not change due to our exit from the EU.
There was a net gain of 85 jobs supported by Uthras na Gaeltachta in Donegal last year. 156 new jobs were created, 71 were lost. The Guelph Development Agency has today published its end-of-year review, which predicts a significant number of new and upcoming initiatives. The Uthras CEO is Micheál O'Hinny.
We're satisfied that we're going in the right direction with regard to consolidation and further development of business on the Parknoe and especially the developments based around GTEC, Aisling Gidor, our new digital hub initiative there, which is acting as a focal point for development.
And a lot of new initiatives upcoming in the year ahead as well, Michael.
Yes, we've got quite a number of initiatives in the pipeline. A number of investors that we're talking to, new investors, additional investment in existing companies, and also a strong focus in the Donegal Gaeltacht as well as in other Gaeltachts on the development of natural resources, things like tourism, marine resources, cultural resources are all going to be central to our development activities over the coming year.
And that was Micheál O'Haney, the Chief Executive of Utherlis, speaking there to Catherine Gaffney. And you can read that review in full via the link on our website, highlandradio.com. Fianna Fáil say it's utterly bewildering that a review of the overspend at the National Children's Hospital won't seek to make anyone personally accountable. The terms of reference for the PwC investigation say to stop short of determining culpability at the individual level. Political correspondent Sean Defoe has more.
This report is meant to examine how the cost of the hospital has gone from €650 million to €1.7 billion. But the terms of reference say it should stop short of determining culpability at the individual level. Fianna Fáil say that's utterly bewildering.
So they're asking PwC to conduct an inquiry into this to see who had the role and accountability. But they're told, literally, stop short of determining culpability.
That's their justice spokesperson, Jim O'Callaghan. But Health Minister Simon Harris has said there will be accountability.
People will be held to account. There will be governance changes in relation to this. Of that, there is no doubt. And not to have advanced the project, which was the decision I was faced with, proceed or not proceed, would have been a scar, I think, on the legacy of government, on the legacy of the Oireachtas.
However, critics say that without the report being able to identify officials at fault, no one will face sanctions for the massive overspend. The PwC investigation is due to report in March.
Additional strike action by nurses is being considered if the 5 days already announced are not effective. 37,000 nurses staged their first 24-hour strike on Wednesday in a row over pay and staffing. The Executive Council of the INMO is meeting tomorrow to discuss the issue of further action. Edward Matthews is Director of Regulation and Social Policy at the INMO. He says as of yet they have no details on additional action.
We don't know at this stage what will be involved. What we always have said and what we will say is that we maintain life-preserving services and we will continue to maintain life-preserving services. That has been maintained in the dispute this week. It will be maintained during the dispute next week and the dispute in the week after that. But for the moment, what we want to do is to ensure that we have an effective dispute that allows the voice of nurses and midwives to be heard while at the same time preserving life and safety within the services.
Bracky National School in Ardra is to get an extension with a new classroom being constructed to facilitate children with autism and special needs. Details of a construction date have yet to be released, while a final costing price will be determined once the tendering process gets underway. Fine Gael local election candidate Eamon Byrne says it's something that's been on the school's wish list for some time.
Got details from Minister Joe McHugh this morning. I got a phone call from him to say that he had signed off on a 209 square metre ASD classroom and surroundings for Bracky National School in Ardra.
I'm sure this is a long time coming, Eamon.
Yeah, it's a long time coming and the people have been working very, very hard there. You know, the board of management and the principal and some of the parents have been working diligently together and I'm glad to see you coming to this day for them and hopefully now it can be brought to fruition very soon.
And I'm sure these facilities will mean a lot to local parents and their children in that area.
Yes, Catherine, of course they will. It'll mean that parents, you know, of children that are living in the one family can go and they can go to the same school and can share Bracky school together rather than seeing, you know, maybe one or two children out of a family having to go to school somewhere else. So it's great that we'll have it now on our doorstep and our drive and it'll be a fantastic unit whenever it's up and running.
An investigation is continuing into a suspected arson attack in Strabane. Emergency services were called to the scene at Portacabins in the Springhill Park area of the town last night. The fire was eventually brought under control. The cabins were being used by a contractor undertaking work for the housing executive. It's thought thousands of pounds worth of damage has been caused as a result of the attack. It's been condemned by local councillor Patsy Kelly.
They have damaged the Portacabins and basically we have to condemn this. These guys have been in our town delivering gas into the west and delivering gas to and fitting gas mains throughout the town. So we have to condemn it. These people are out doing another day's like work and these cabins that they use within the town and with their work.
A Donegal councillor says the earning thresholds for social housing in Donegal need to be reviewed, with the council now writing to the Housing Minister Owen Murphy seeking a review. Councillor Jerry McMonagall told a meeting in Lifford this week that many people in Donegal are falling between two stools. They earn too much to be considered for social housing, but nowhere near enough to qualify for a mortgage. He said the earning threshold for a couple in Donegal is €30,000, but in other parts of the country, that figure is much higher. That, he says, is unfair.
We are in band three here, and there's three bands. People in Cork City and Dublin City can earn up to €40,000 for social housing before they can be turned down. And in Cork County and in Kerry, they can earn up to €36,000. There's an anomaly there, and what I'm saying is that we write to the Minister, we ask him to look at this three-band policy, and that we all be treated equally.
The Western Development Commission has published a draft five-year strategy and is now seeking comments and submissions from groups and individuals. The Commission manages the Western Development Investment Fund, which has so far invested €51 million in 155 projects, supporting 5,000 jobs between Donegal and Clare. CEO Tomás Síochán says the new strategy is an important step in the Commission's evolution. It's 20 years old this year, having been founded in 1999. He says the core aim of the WDC is to promote regional promotion, regional leadership and sustainable enterprise. He says this strategy is a way of ensuring that those goals are met.
This is an extension, effectively, of the work that's been ongoing over the last year in terms of engaging with the stakeholders. There's a lot of work has been done internally among the staff and with the board and those that we deal with most regularly. But this, I think, is an opportunity for those that we would deal with on a less regular basis and those that perhaps may not be aware to the same extent of the work that the WDC are doing to have a look at the work that we're doing and see clearly the direction in which we're going. So there are three key pillars that we're looking at. I think probably they would correspond with the short term, the medium term and the long term. So in the short term, a lot of our work will be around regional promotion in terms of our Look West site and enticing people back to the West, and that's something obviously we can make progress on relatively quickly over the next year. Then in the medium term, there's the question of regional leadership, and an example of that would be around the Atlantic Economic Corridor, where we're working with the Department of Rural and Community Development to take a lead role in that initiative, which stretches not only as far as Clare, but all the way from to Kerry from Donegal. And then in the longer term, around sustainable enterprise, this is really, I suppose, one of the benefits that the WDC has in terms of its Western Investment Fund that allows it to take a long-term view. And this would be even beyond the lifetime of this plan, which is 5 years, to maybe a 10-year time frame, that we're going to identify key sectors that we can make a difference in and ensure that the region stays ahead of the game, both nationally and globally.
Tomás Síochán. A Donegal deputy says trade union recognition should be a precondition for grants from Uthrist na Gcoithithe. Deputy Thomas Pringle says in light of the Uthrist statistics announced today, the authority should clearly say that a company must recognise its workers' union membership before accessing Uthrist grants. Restating his support for the workers at RAP, who began industrial action for union recognition last year, Deputy Pringle says it's not enough to create jobs. They have to be quality jobs with appropriate conditions attached. And that, he said, includes union recognition.
Sport on Highland, in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Make your Shop LK gift card go further with an additional 20% bonus on all Shop LK vouchers.
It's just coming up to 5:15. Time for the Sports News Week. Good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with rugby, and it's Six Nations weekend, and the first of the matches involving Ireland has started, and it's the women's who are kicking the competition off in Donnybrook as they host England. And at the moment, the visiting England side are leading by 5 points to no score early in the first half there. Donegal's Laura Feely started in the front row for Ireland today. Later on tonight, the men's under-20s are starting their competition. They take on England as well, and that one gets underway at 7:15. But the Irish senior rugby team have been training today at the Viva Stadium as the countdown continues to tomorrow's eagerly awaited opener against England. Rory Best led the traditional eve of game captain's run earlier today at the match venue. Ireland needed Johnny Sexton's sensational drop goal to beat the French in the first game of the championship last year, but they lost their opener to Scotland in 2017. Best says it's important that Ireland hit the ground running.
The danger of a sluggish start is that we lose, and I think with England and the form that they're going to be bringing, we know that they'll start with a bang. So we have to be good. Come tomorrow, 5:15, for us there won't be a tomorrow. And it's got to be about being nailed on, because if we give them access points into the game, then it is going to be a long day for us.
And the 2019 Six Nations Championship gets up and running tonight in Paris with France against Wales at the Stade de France. And that one gets underway at 8 o'clock. In Gaelic Games, following the recent adverse weather conditions, the ground staff at McCool Park in Ballybuffet are monitoring the pitch on an ongoing basis ahead of tomorrow's game with Meath. As of this afternoon, there were no problems and the pitch in Ballybuffet will go ahead as planned, or the match in Ballybuffet rather will go ahead as planned on Leicester's significant weather developments over the next 24 hours. But as per the current forecast, it looks like that is not going to be an issue. So it's a green light for Donegal against Meath in what is an early season top of the table clash in Division 2. Both sides, of course, winning their respective matches last weekend. As for Donegal, it's the first home league game of the year, and captain Hugh McFadden is looking to make that count tomorrow night.
I think at this time of the year, and in the start of the National League, you know, your home games are a big plus. You know, Clare were buoyed by good support down there in Ennis last Sunday, and they came flying at us, and you could definitely tell that their home advantage, and they're proud of their home record they have. And I suppose we'll be the same next week. You know, we like to think that we can give most teams a game in McCool Park, and hopefully we can put in a performance against Meath that'll justify Donegal playing in McCool Park.
That game starts at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, and Highland Radio will be live from Ballybuffet as from 6.45. I'll be joined on commentary by Martin McHugh for Donegal against Meath in the second of the games in Division 2 in the Alliance League. Tyrone are looking for their first one off the campaign. They're looking to put that defeat to Kerry firmly behind them this weekend when they take on Mayo at Healy Park in Omagh. We'll have updates from that game with Francis Mooney on a Sunday afternoon. Elsewhere in the top flight, Cavan play Kerry, Roscommon take on Monaghan, and the opening game of the weekend in Division 1 is Dublin against Galway tomorrow. As for Derry, they're playing in Division 4 on Sunday afternoon. They defeated Antrim by a point last week. London are the opposition for Damien McAuley's side on Sunday at Owen Beg, and that one is an earlier than usual start at 12:30 is the throw-in time to that game. It's actually a double-header at Owen Beg on Sunday because Donegal are making the short trip into the Oakleaf County to take on Derry in Division 2B of the National Hurling League. It's due to start at 2:30, and Tom Comack will be watching that one for us on Sunday afternoon. Not forgetting about the ladies, Donegal start their National Division 1 League campaign tomorrow evening against the All-Ireland Champions Dublin. The game, which will be the county's first ladies' visit to Croke Park in 9 years, will be played before that men's game of Dublin against Galway. Donegal ladies captain Karen Guthrie says it's a nice way to start the year.
Yeah, it'll be brilliant. We're really, really looking forward to it. It's a lovely start to the year and on a nice clean pitch, whether it's not soggy or soft. We're really looking forward to it. There's been a lot of work going on behind the scenes for the double headers this year, and it's lovely that we're one of the teams that kind of would benefit greatly off it. You know, getting to play at Croke Park is an absolute dream, and for a lot of our younger girls it'll be a first for them, and I suppose it's something we're really, really looking forward to, and we feel very lucky that we've benefited on.
Elsewhere in the Ladies League over the weekend, Division 2, Tyrone are making the trip to play Cavan, while Derry on the road to Fermanagh in Division 4. On now to soccer. Sligo Rovers have further bolstered their attacking options ahead of the 2019 season. They've signed Nigerian striker Brendan Ogbu, and that is subject to him obtaining a work permit and international clearance. Van Harps are continuing their preparations for the new Premier Division campaign this coming weekend. They're heading to United Park tomorrow afternoon to take on Drogheda United. That one is a 1 o'clock kickoff. The sixth round of the Irish Cup sees a number of North West sides in action tomorrow afternoon. Coleraine are taking on Derrickview, with the winner set to go to the quarterfinals. And Strabane Athletic are still in the competition, and they will play Larntech in one of eight, and another of the eight ties which are scheduled for tomorrow afternoon. The Donegal Junior Football League are in quarterfinal action in the Oscar Traynor Interleague Trophy tomorrow. They're looking to make home advantage count tomorrow evening against Limerick at the Diamond Park in Ballyar. Kickoff time is at 8 o'clock. And among the other big games on the soccer front involving North West sides this coming weekend, Glengad United are making the trip to County Leash to play Cretyard United in the last 16 of the FAI Junior Cup. Glengad on the road, but they're looking for a big performance that will see them make it through to the quarterfinals. Some other soccer news. Mario Anfilini has completed his move to Chinese Super League side Shandong Luneng. The fee involved is believed to be in the region of £10.5 million. Cross channel tonight, Derby can move above Middlesbrough to fifth in the Championship. Frank Lampard's side travel to Preston. While up in Scotland, Kilmarnock will go second in the Premiership if they avoid defeat at home to Hearts this evening. On the martial arts front, Joseph Duffy will return to the UFC Octagon in March. The Donegal fighter has been out of action since November 2017 with a rib injury. Duffy has been confirmed to fight England's Mark Diakis at Fight Night at London's O2 Arena on Paddy's Eve, March the 16th. Diakis has lost each of his last three fights. Athletics-wise, this weekend on Sunday, it's the National Intermediate Masters Cross Country, which is taking place at Dundalk IT. There's quite a few Northwest competitors heading that direction and hoping to go back down the road with medals on Sunday evening. And finally, in golf, Paul Dunne is competing at the Saudi International this weekend. He carded a 1-under par round of 69 to reach a halfway stage at 3-under. The lead belongs to Dustin Johnson, who set a new course record of 61 earlier today to hold a 3-shot advantage at 11 under par. Saturday Sport with Kenny Harkin is our next sport here in Highland tomorrow afternoon, which kicks off just after the 2 news.
Thanks, Dushy. Letterkenny University Hospital has been ranked as one of the most overcrowded in Ireland. In January, almost 600 people were awaiting admission over the course of the month. According to a new monthly analysis by the INMO, 587 patients waited on a bed over the 4-week period, with over 10,000 waiting nationally. That's a 55% increase on the number waiting for beds in January 10 years ago, a 30% increase on January 5 years ago. The INMO says the figures are an underestimate because they don't include January 30th when their members were on strike. Agus anois an nocht Oleg ag Colm Ferrater.
Seaghur mahas a Colm Ferrater an chalan na príomh scéalta ar Highland Radio. Fáil siú tarastal bliantúil udaras na gealtúta an dhúch le cair sias an ar líon santasa da tionscanachtí úra tahar ag súil go grúcho hart céad sa seart fa past úr sa chondé im liana comaila an estiacht réhvasta da chud art ponche cahar sa cahar viliun euro. Bhí méadú de art was a cúig fast an an nari le ia vila ia céad seart was a art past a client colachtí na mór agriachta le colachtí ó réimse leahan de tionscanaf in a mask. Bonnie Ukuig, Holok to Ur and Yelta to Dunanal, and Nebri Jeg Fossia onto. Osclio G Tech Egg Park Gro Gidor and Charishoy Hart, Carter Spwes or File on the Holokti, La Primerica, Mastori Donda, August Optum, Loniha and Shenanish, Jennifer Ferbert, Erin Darna, Earler, Salahar Kerna, Emiliana, La Costas, Massiha Egg, Hain Poncha Kuig, Million Euro, Levecacha, Erin Erbert Urshin. Comailishin cariu 3 flan changa jeg le budget da a hen gulai million euro agus farbriu agus sholu branda geltacht na herin. Jerry Gomai, the scholarly, O Chalisha Ali, Letcher Karen, Marin, the scholarly, Pobble Skolgi Dor, a crave comortus, a sclepia villas and nijeg, a V Erbon and Araclan, Classa, Clun Tarav, Amalia Haklia Gikedinia, V Ambua and Grupa as PS Gidor, Pobble Skolgi Dor, Soranog, Renka Kruhia. When Paul McGill Aspog, Amy Nicleary, Afric, Nivruha, August, and Grupa Rasta Krasta, Elig, a gen of Onadiokta, the Hollister Ali, and Letcher Kennan, August Jerry Lahana, Nick Fuajin, Bohrna Trai of Unbug, Priv Dush Nefelia Sleep, a Yavila, August and Ejeg, and Ye Gia and Ranug, Araniokta Enner, a winch. August Bellyak Tugus at Chaspantus, Green Graffa Director, the Hodge Clars, Niguchen, Egg Araclan Gidor, Tornona Amara, Egg a heart to clog. Shimmochod se illegalier slanagus bannocked.
Kulamagas column. Well, the forecast, cold tonight with clear spells, dry in most areas with some isolated sleet and snow showers, mainly in the northwest. Lowest temperatures -1 to -4 degrees Celsius with widespread frost and icy patches. Tomorrow, Saturday, cold and dry in most areas with sunny spells, frost and ice slowly clearing. Some isolated sleet showers in highest temperatures of 3 to 5 degrees. Moderate westerly breezes. Looking at the main stories on this Friday evening, almost €30 million has been allocated to Donegal County Council for the local and regional roads network in the county. A number of bridges also included in the programme. A full list of all the projects is available on our website, highlandradio.com. There will be real and significant challenges to rural Ireland in the event of a no-deal Brexit. That's the warning from the Agriculture and Marine Minister. Michael Creed acknowledged this afternoon that the economy will slow overall and there could be job losses in the agri-food and marine sectors in particular. They, he said, are the most vulnerable parts of the economy. There was a net gain of 85 jobs supported by Ulrus na Gaeltachta in Donegal last year. 156 new jobs created and 71 lost. And Fianna Fáil says it's utterly bewildering that a review of the overspend at the National Children's Hospital won't seek to make anyone personally accountable. Next news at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Friday evening, the 1st of February. The sudden death has occurred of James MacDade, Kitty, Ballygawley, New Mills, Glen Swilly. His remains will repose at his late residence from 7 o'clock this evening. Removal tomorrow at 6:45, going to St. Columbus Church, Glen Swilly, to repose overnight. Funeral mass on Sunday morning at 11, with interment afterwards in the family plot in Kilfeek Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Con MacDade and Sons funeral directors. The death has occurred of Dennis Doherty, Riley, 8, Gaddy Duff, Clonmany. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Sunday afternoon at 1:30, going to St. Mary's Church, Clonmany, for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Carndonagh Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of McFeely Funeral Directors, or any family member. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Kathleen Monteith, Ney Alcorn, 4 Melmount Villas, Strabane. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock, followed by service in Christchurch, Strabane at 1:30. Burial afterwards in Erne Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations to Christchurch, Strabane, care of Mrs. Ruth Hay, funeral director. The death has occurred of Patrick O'Donnell, Drumroosk Estate, Donegal Town, and formerly of Drimna Dridge, Letchamec Ward. His remains are reposing at his late home in Donegal Town. Removal from there tomorrow evening, going to St. Bridget's Church, Letchamec Ward, for 7 o'clock Mass, where he'll repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Sunday at 12 noon, interment afterwards in the new cemetery. The death has occurred of Charlie Maloney, Ryan's Court, Dalík, County Meath, formerly of Mahari Ardra, County Donegal. His remains will repose at his residence in Dalík tomorrow from 3 until 9 p.m. Removal on Sunday morning to St. Kenan's Church, Dalík, for 11:30 funeral mass, with burial afterwards in Good Shepherd Cemetery, Dalík. Family flowers only, please. Donations to Beaufort House Nursing Home, Navan. The death has taken place of Sally Park, Knockbrack, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Sunday morning at 10:30, going to the Church of the Irish Martyrs for funeral mass at 11:30, interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Christopher McBride, 486, the Curragh, Killigordon. His remains will repose at his home from 6 o'clock this evening until rosary at 10 o'clock, and again tomorrow from 11 a.m. until rosary at 10 p.m. Funeral from there on Sunday morning at 11:20 for Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon, at 12 noon, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Annie Donaghy, Naomh McCluskey, 100 Slochmanis Road, County Derry. Funeral from her home tomorrow at 10 to 12 for Requiem Mass at 12:30 in St. Mary's Church, Tamnahirin, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Foyle Hospice, Derry. The death has taken place of George O'Donnell, Upper Carnamugga, Mountain Top, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:20, going to St. Eunan's Cathedral for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the family plot in New Leck Cemetery. The house is private, please. And the death has taken place of Breege McGeehan, née McCurry, late of Fintown Post Office, County Donegal. Her remains are reposing at her late residence in Fintown. Funeral Mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning in St. Columbkill's Chapel, Fintown, with burial afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Rosary tonight at 9 o'clock, with family time afterwards, please.